good evening. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and open them to 1 Peter chapter 2. We will be looking at verses 11 through 25 this evening. 1 Peter chapter 2. Peter is starting here a new topic. A topic that is not exactly welcomed in our society. A topic of submission. I don't know if you've ever observed our business world or our political world, but submission is not one of their politically correct words, but it is what Jesus taught. And so we'll be looking at submission. Let's go ahead and read verses 11 through 12. Dear friends, you are like foreigners and strangers in this world. I beg you to avoid the evil things your bodies want to do that fight against your soul. People who do not believe are living all around you and might say that you are doing wrong. Live such good lives that they will see the good things you do and will give glory to God on the day when Christ comes. A lot of us, when we think of submission, we think of slavery. We think of subjugation. But when the Bible talks about Christians being submissive, it's simply talking about being under the authority of God. We are submissive to His authority. Who created family? Who created human governments? Who created and set in place the leaders? Who created the church? And who has the right to tell us how these institutions should work? There we go. It is God. He has the right to tell us how these institutions should be run and how we as Christians should act and be when we have contact with these institutions. God would like us for us to exercise authority, but to exercise authority, we must learn to be under authority, the authority of our God. Adam and Eve were under this authority. What did Satan offer Adam and Eve that took them away from God? Freedom from authority. Remember, what did God forbid them to do? Don't eat from the fruit of the tree in the middle of the garden. Authority. What did Satan say? You have that right. You have that freedom. Eat of that tree. Thinking that they would gain freedom from authority, they ended up losing both their freedom and the authority that God had given them. When did the prodigal son find true freedom? When he became submissive to who? To his father. When he did that, he found true freedom. Before that, what he thought was freedom was slavery. Slavery to his passions, slavery to the world, slavery to Satan. Did it bring happiness to him? Did it set him truly free? It made him more a slave than he had been when he was submissive to his father's will. Peter will share with us three thoughts, three motives why we as Christians should be submissive. Let us read first. I've already read it. Verses 11 through 12. Let's read it again. Dear friends, you are like foreigners and strangers in this world. I beg you to avoid the evil things your bodies want to do that fight against your soul. People who do not believe are living all around you and might say that you are doing wrong. Live such good lives that they will see the good things you do and will give glory to God on the day when Christ comes. The first motive for submitting to authority is for the sake of the lost. As Christians, we must constantly remember who we are. Who are we? We are God's children. We are His holy priest. We are His holy nation. But also we need to remember that we are the dearly beloved children of God. Paul tells us this 8 times in this little letter. He reminds us of God's love for us. This alone should be motivation for us to live lives according to the will of God. Jesus said what? If you love me, you'll ignore me. He said, if you love me, you will do what? You will obey my commandments. There is something stronger than obedience to duty. When we serve our nation as duty. But there is something stronger than the sense of duty. It's called the sense of love. There are things we might do for our country out of duty, but there are things that we wouldn't do for our country out of duty. But even the world will do things for their family in the name of love that they wouldn't do for any other reason. Men and women have sacrificed their lives for their families, even for their friends, comrades in war. Yes, the world also teaches love. Love of friends, love of family. But Jesus took it one step further. Did Jesus die for those he loved? Just for those he loved? Or just for those who love him? She said the Bible teaches Jesus died even for his enemies. Oh yes, he loved his enemies. They didn't love him. And Jesus died for those who didn't love him. So even the world recognizes the principle of doing out of love. But there's something else here. We are also strangers. Did you hear that? He said, you are like foreigners and strangers in this world. I beg you to avoid the evil things your bodies want you to do and that fight against your soul. People who do not believe are living all around you and might say that you are doing wrong for being faithful Christians. We are resident aliens. Now, my wife's a resident alien in the United States. But we, too, are resident aliens who live in the United States. Our citizenship is not here, but our citizenship is in heaven. Abraham understood this principle. Listen to what the Bible teaches us about Abraham and his faith in Hebrews 11, starting with verse 9. By faith he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents as did Isaac and Jacob who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations whose architect and builder is God. Have any of you ever lived in a country outside of the United States for any length of period? And Phil's got his hand up too. And Michelle even had her hand up. Oregon. Oh yeah, from Oregon. I forgot. But when you are in a foreign country, sometimes you get looked at kind of strange. You do things kind of strange. When I first moved to Germany, I ate only with the right hand. forks and knives. Well, I knew what a knife was, but why do you get that knife dirty and have to wash it when I can cut my food with my knife? So maybe with my fork. I got so used to eating American that I would cut meat with my fork and eat it, and cut my potatoes and eat it. And I did that in Germany, and people kind of look at you strange. He's not German. Because they eat fork in the left hand, knife in the right hand. You cut. Took me a while just to get coordinated to be able to use my left hand to get food in the mouth. But I had to learn to eat that way. And when I first came back to America, people saw me eating that way. They looked at me kind of strange too. But you looked at differently because your culture is different. Your actions are different. And so should it be for us. We are not citizens of the United States of America. Our citizenship is in heaven. That means we should be following the culture out of America, out of heaven. Because there is our citizenship. Abraham understood. They looked strangely at Abraham. He did not move into a city and live like normal people. He lived in a tent in a land that God had promised him and his offspring. Sometimes I think many Christians are more like Lot. We don't always live as strangers. We moved into Sodom and to Gomorrah and live according to their culture. But we are different. And so as Christians, as we do things that are not normal for Americans to do, but for Christians, we are often misunderstood, as Christians have always been misunderstood when following the culture of their homeland in heaven. We are also soldiers in a spiritual battle. Our sinful desires fight against us. Not only did Peter understand this, but Paul. Let me read to you what Paul said in Galatians. I have marked, where's my marker? In Galatians chapter 5, I'm going to read 16 through 26. No, I don't. Can't find it. I must have written it wrong. Galatians chapter 5. I'm in chapter 6. That helps if I go to chapter 5, doesn't it? So I tell you, live by following the Spirit. Then you will not do what your sinful selves want. Our sinful selves want what is against the Spirit. And the Spirit wants what is against our sinful selves. The two are against each other, so you cannot do just what you please. But if the Spirit is leading you, you are not under the law. The wrong things the sinful self does are clear: being sexually unfaithful, not being pure, taking part in sexual sins, worshiping gods, doing witchcraft, hating, making trouble, being jealous, being angry, being selfish, making people angry with each other, causing division among people, feeling envy, being drunk, having wild and wasteful parties, and doing other things like these. I warn you, now as I warned you before, those who do these things will not inherit God's kingdom. But the Spirit produces the fruit of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. There is no law that says these things are wrong. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified their old sinful selves. They have given up their old selfish feelings and the evil things they wanted to do. We get our new life from the Spirit, so we should follow the Spirit. We must not be proud or make trouble with each other or be jealous of each other. Paul knew of this inside battle. Peter understood this inside battle. Sometimes we think of them as being supermen. Supermen that weren't bothered with daily sins like we are. Well, I doubt that seriously. Paul talked about doing the things that he didn't want to do. Even though he knew they were wrong, he said, I still did them. Paul understood. Paul was human. And he didn't always live a sin-free life. He knew of this battle, and he said, we need to realize that and fight against the nature. We need to be submissive to God. Let us remember, one battle won does not mean we have won the war. Our battle is daily and will last until the day that Jesus takes us home or the day we join Him in our death. Most of all, though, we are witnesses for the lost around us. Paul reminds us to live good lives. We do not witness with our lips alone, but with our entire life. I read in the book, it said we must back up our Christian talk with a Christian walk. I've been teaching and preaching for 20, 21 years now. Not as long as Cletus mentioned this morning. Of course, he's a little bit older than me. And I have to say that I have seen good Christian walks and bad Christian walks. I have seen Christian walks that have won spouses to Christ. But I have seen Christian walks that have scared people away from Jesus Christ. I want to read to you a response. Back in 1805, a missionary out of Boston was preaching and teaching to subjugated Indians, trying to make them good Christian Indians. And here is a reply written by someone else for an Indian chief known as Red Jacket. Listen to his reply. This is in 1805. Brother, we are told that you have been preaching to the white people in this place. These people are our neighbors. We are acquainted with them. We will wait a little while and see what effect your preaching has upon them. If we find it does them good, makes them honest and less disposed to cheat Indians, we will then consider again what you have taught us. Who watches? They want to see if we're living what we preach. Do we say something and then live a totally different way? Yes, we are being watched. And so one reason to submit to the authority of God is because of the lost. A second reason we should submit to the authority of the Lord is for the Lord's sake. Let's read verses 13 through 17 in 1 Peter. For the Lord's sake, yield to the people who have authority in this world, the king who is the highest authority, and the leaders who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to praise those who do right. It is God's desire that by doing good, you should stop foolish people from saying stupid things about you. Live as free people, but do not use your freedom as an excuse to do evil. Live as servants of God. Show respect for all people. Love the brothers and sisters of God's family. Respect God. Honor the king. Everything that we do is basically to glorify God and His kingdom. But Peter was careful to point out that we Christians are representatives of Christ upon earth. Ambassadors, if you will. It is our responsibility to advertise God's good virtues. This is especially true when it comes to our relationship to government and to people in authority. As Christian citizens, we should submit to the authority vested by God in human government. This does not mean that we are subject to obey every law that governments bring, because some laws do go against the will of God. But we are commanded to respect these institutions, even though they bring laws that are not always godly. Because when it gets down to it, they only exist because God lets them exist to make laws and to enforce the laws. And it is possible to submit to the institution and still disobey laws that are contrary to God's laws. Daniel. Remember Daniel in the lion's den? Do you remember why Daniel was thrown into the lion's den? He was ordered to do something that was contrary to God's law. Well, he continued in secret to do what was right. He still went in his room and prayed like he had always done. He did not obey the law, though he still respected the king and the government. So when they came to arrest him, did he fight back? Did he scream and yell and punch the guards? Did he call for his personal servants to protect him? He submitted, even to be thrown into the lion's den. Also, even before this period, he was ordered with the others to eat from the king's table, which did not follow the dietary laws that he had under God's law. Once again, he did not obey. He went to the servant in charge and said, God doesn't want us to eat those things. Let us try this. Let us eat what God permits us to eat and see if it's not better for us. And did it turn out to be better for them to obey God and eat what God had commanded them to eat? He still disobeyed the law. He did not eat from that table, but he did it in a respectful way. He submitted and he asked if something might be changed. But he did not rebel. He didn't say, this is outrageous, hell with the king. He didn't do that. He respected the institution while disobeying respectfully. Peter also faced a similar challenge after Pentecost. He was taken and he was told, do not teach about Jesus. Very respectfully, he said, that is not possible. I must do what God has commanded. You, of all people, he told the Sanhedrin, should understand that. But he, once again, did not call for the Christians to overthrow the Sanhedrin. When he could, he followed their laws, he respected the Jewish laws. He was not a rebellion. He did not start one. He did not want one in this sense. He respected the Jewish law and the Jewish government. Even though with respect, he disobeyed, but it clashed with the laws of God. That's why I'm totally against abortionists that go blowing up clinics. What has that to do with the submissive nature of Christ? It's important that we learn to respect the office, even if we don't consider those in office to be morally good people. We have been commanded to submit ourselves. Peter named the offices we are to respect. He said, respect the king. That was the emperor of Rome. Was the emperor of Rome ever a nice, good person for the Christians? And you read about Nero and things he did and some of the other. No. But the Christians never raised weapons against Rome, never called for the overthrow of Rome. They respectfully refused to do what was commanded when it conflicted with God, but all other laws they obeyed. They submitted themselves to the king, and they submitted themselves to the governor, the next level of government under the king, those who have the authority to administer laws and execute them. Ideally, government should punish those who do evil, not those who do good. Usually it works out that way, but not always. Not even during the time of Jesus. We should note two important things. Peter said the will of God is important in this submission, and being the servants of God is important to submission. When we do this, we are doing it for the Lord's sake. God has willed that we silence our critics by doing good, not by opposing authority. A Christian must first submit himself to Christ, to God. What did Peter say? Fear God and honor the King. They go together. Since the powers that be are ordained by God. You can also read from Romans chapter 13, the first verses there talk about the same. We honor the King. Why? Because we fear God. Discernment plays a large role in our relationships to human governments. There are times when the right thing to do is to set aside our privileges. And there are times when we must use our privileges. We need to learn to discern. Paul was a Roman citizen. When he was arrested, he and Silas, they beat him, they locked him up. Once again, Paul didn't fight and scream and scratch and kick and yell for help. He let that happen. But then he said, I am a Roman citizen. I demand to be treated like a Roman citizen. When Paul was in jail for, I think it was over 2 years, he finally appealed his case to Caesar. He just didn't sit there and do absolutely nothing. He said, I appeal to Caesar. I will bring this case before Caesar. I demand justice. But once again, he did not fight and scream and cause an uprising against Rome. He submitted himself for the sake of the Lord. And thirdly, a third motive for submitting to authority is for our own sake. In this passage, let's go ahead and read it, verses 18 through 25. Slaves, yield to the authority of your masters with all respect, not only those who are good and kind, but also those who are dishonest. A person might have to suffer, even when it is unfair, but if he thinks of God and can stand the pain, God is pleased. If you are beaten for doing wrong, there is no reason to praise you for being patient in your punishment. But if you suffer for doing good, and you are patient, then God is pleased. This is what you were called to do, because Christ suffered for you and gave you an example to follow, so you should do as he did. He had never sinned and he had never lied. People insulted Christ, but he did not insult them in return. Christ suffered, but he did not threaten. He let God, the one who judges rightly, take care of him. Christ carried our sins in his body on the cross, so we should stop living for sin and start living for what is right. And you are healed because of his wounds. You were like sheep and you wandered away, but now you have come back to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. In this passage, Peter addresses Christian slaves that were in the congregation or in the congregations that he wrote. It appears that there was a problem with Christian slaves who thought they should not be slaves and ran away from their masters. One example we find in the book of Philemon, and Paul sent that slave back to his master. It appears that there is a problem with Christian submission. But when Peter wrote to Christian slaves, he also wrote to us today. And we can apply the lessons here to our jobs, to our workplaces, to our employers. We are to be submissive to those who are over us. Whether they are kind or unkind to us, Christian employees must never take advantage of their employer. Each worker should do a day's work and honestly earn his money. course, our human tendency is to fight back when mistreated, to demand our rights. But Christ has called us to another response. Let me read to you Ephesians 6, verses 5 through 8. Slaves, obey your masters here on earth with fear and respect, and from a sincere heart, just as you obey Christ. You must do this not only while they are watching you to please them. With all your heart, you must do what God wants as people who are obeying Christ. Do your work with enthusiasm. Work as if you were serving the Lord, not as if you were serving only men and women. Remember that the Lord will give a reward to everyone, slave or free, for doing good. Peter gives us Jesus as our example for service in all situations. Our Lord's humility and submission was not a sign of weakness, but of strength. Christians are often called to serve through suffering. This is so because, as with Jesus, it's the path of suffering that leads to glory. Here then is the wonderful truth Peter wanted to share. As we live godly lives and submit in times of suffering, we are following Christ's example. We are becoming more and more like Him. We submit and obey not only for the sake of the lost and for the sake of the Lord, but we also submit for our own sake, that we might grow spiritually, that we might grow in the glory of Christ. The unsaved world is watching us, but the shepherd in heaven is watching over us. There's a difference. So we have nothing to fear. We can submit to Him and know that He will work everything together for our good and for His glory if we trust Him. And I like what Peter wrote at the end. He's talking about being submissive, something that nobody likes to do, to be submissive. But he says, you were like sheep and wandered away. But now you have come back to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. We are obedient to Him because He is our shepherd and our overseer. If you have fallen away from Christ, if you have not been submissive as Christ would have want us, then come to Him this evening. He loves you, and the way to glory is a way of submissive service through suffering. Then please come as we stand and sing our song.